Pleased to introduce our next speaker, Carl Cicere. If you want to try to find Carl on the web, you can't. He doesn't have a website. I tried to look him up before this to find other things to use to introduce him. It's not there. But here's what I can say about Carl. He is a solo practitioner at Cicere the PC. It does appellate all over the country in different courts. Particularly lately, he's been known for his amicus practice in the United States Supreme Court. Canon Shanmugam tweeted recently that he thinks there may be nobody writing better amicus briefs in the Supreme Court than Carl. So go read some of the stuff he's writing. It's very interesting. Also, if you follow Carl on Twitter, you'll get to hear all about his adventures in biking. So we'll introduce Carl here to do our U.S. Supreme Court update.
Thanks, everybody, and it's always a pleasure to be talking about the Supreme Court. It's one of my passions. It's a focus of my practice, and it's always fun to talk about it, but it's particularly interesting and fun to be talking about the Supreme Court now because it's such a time of transition for the court. There have been so many major and, I think, upheaving changes in the way the court does business, in the composition of the court, in the direction of the law that's likely to result from those changes, that it's just really, I think, fascinating to kind of try and put things into perspective and to try and think about where things are going to go. It's also a particularly interesting time to be doing it right now because we're in the beginning of only the second term of a durable 6-3 conservative majority. We have a new justice on the court. We have a lot of other undercurrents that are happening at the court as well. And we're only now beginning to be able to tease out what that means because we have a couple of terms of data and a couple of terms of cases where we can look at them and see how decisions are coming out, how conservative the court's likely to be, what are the areas of emphasis that the court's going to be focusing on, and how big of a moves is it likely to take in support of its favored issues? And especially, you know, how likely is it going to be to rewrite previous precedent and overrule previous cases? I would say it's a great time to be doing a retrospective of the Supreme Court term in June because the Supreme Court traditionally ends its term in June. It issues all of its opinions by the end of June. And this is a kind of ironclad, rock-ribbed tradition at the court, but I don't know if that's going to hold this term, because for no exteriorly obvious reason, the court still has 25 decisions, and that's of this morning, 25 decisions outstanding, and they're not 25 days remaining in June. So there are a lot of decisions to come out in a short span of time. We're wondering whether we're going to go just for purely practical reasons of issuing decisions and the practicalities of getting them out and getting them proofread, whether we're going to be going into July in the first time for a long time that was non-COVID term. And I think that's interesting and significant and signals some issues inside the court as well that I think it's worth exploring. But it does make a retrospective kind of difficult because there's no retrospective to be given. There are some significant cases that have been decided, and I think some cases that are going to matter to civil appellate practitioners as well. But a lot of the big ticket items and a lot of the cases that really matter in terms of what we like to analyze about the court and think about the court are like way far from being decided, and we won't know a lot about them for weeks to come. And that's an odd place to be in June. So in preparing this talk, I tried to kind of pull things back a little bit to think about some of those undercurrents in the court, where they may be emanating from, why we might be where we are right now, and the significant moves that bring us into this term, and then we can talk about the cases that have been decided, and then a brief overlook of the, you know, some predictions about the cases that are still outstanding, but we're sort of in an interesting perspective when we start. So I want to start with the court's changing dynamics, and it's not just a matter of composition, of course, although it starts with composition. We've got a 6-3 Durham majority on the court with Justice Barrett's appointment to the court in October of 2020. And we also have a significant change in the way the court conducts business. And this is not something you would normally emphasize about a court, except for this court is so wedded to tradition and slow moving that anything that seems like any kind of change becomes kind of mammoth. And I think this change in particular is fairly significant.